this morning, we're going to listen to the seven fundamentals of faith, and we're titling it, Be Filled with the Spirit. Yeah. All right, let's turn to our Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 1. I just want to say this. I am so thankful that I pastor this church. There is no other church like it anywhere. I was talking to some of my good Christian friends back home, good pastor friends back home in Florida and Alabama and Texas. And one of them was telling me that they were listening to the podcast. And they said, Pastor, do you know something? I said, what is that? They said, I'd be fired if I said half the stuff you said. I said, well, that's why you got to get a congregation like mine. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea. Say all. You know what all means in the Greek? All. Exactly. In Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you know I can't pass this opportunity up. To uttermost parts of the earth. You don't get more utters per capita than Wisconsin. We are the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, God said ye in all of this, or I guess I should say the King James translated it ye. Now, who is God speaking to here? Yeah, he absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, he's speaking to you. But at this very moment, at this very time in history, he is speaking to the disciples. He is speaking to believers. Amen. So this is God speaking to believers. This is not an experience for the world to receive. You realize that? Oh, can I just go ahead and kill a whole doctrination real quick, a whole theology for a moment? I've heard this statement, being filled with the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking tongues. One, I've heard it that it's died away with the last disciple. Okay. I also heard that it is of the devil. It's so interesting. Have you ever watched Cops? Anybody watch Cops? Have you ever? I'm so glad people like Cops. Oh, in the best one, the best Cops episodes ever are the. It's on channel G4. I don't know if you get that. I don't get it. But whenever I'm traveling, I watch it. And it's Campus Cops. Those are the best. I'm telling you, college kids, y'all do it right. And what I mean by that, if you succeed in college amazingly. And if you get pulled over, you either respect that officer or you're running. That's pretty much what I see on campus. So that is a great show. But anyway, in all of that, I've never seen an episode of Cops where somebody was strung out on meth when they came in with the cameras and busted through and the person's laying on the ground. I've never seen someone speaking in tongues when they arrest them. Never. No drunk person passed out in this. They're not bad. They may be babbling, but there are no tongues. It kind of amazes me that those who serve him, serve the enemy wholeheartedly, are never speaking in tongues. And, you know, it's so funny that it's in the church. Speaking in tongues is of the church. It's in the church. That's where we see it happen. In no time that you were a sinner did the devil ever give you the ability to speak in tongues. So why would he wait till you gave your life to Jesus? Just an interesting thought there. Let's continue. John 14:7. It says, I'll give you a second to flip there. But this is something interesting. Let's even talk about this for a moment. No, we'll get to that. I want to jump ahead of myself because this is such a subject that's filled with so many things. We are a charismatic church. Did you realize that when you got here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are a charismatic church. Charismatic just means flowing with the gift. If there's a denomination out there called charismatic, we are not a part. We're non-denominational. We're not a part of any denomination. We're not a part of Pentecostal holiness, but we are Pentecostal and we are holy. Amen. And so we're not a part of those denominations. I'm not knocking those denominations. I know a lot of good people in those denominations. And so in all of this, we're charismatic, we're Pentecostal, and we're holiness. Do you know my grandmother, my great-grandmother, I guess I should say, was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. She wore pants, too, and makeup. I don't know how she got away with it, but she did. She did. So John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth. And let me just say for those listening by podcast, I am not against cutting your hair and makeup and all that stuff. I was just saying the denomination didn't allow her to do it, but she did it anyway. Verse 17, it says, when the Spirit of truth, for whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwells dwells in you. And now we're getting, see, all that is present tense. He dwells in you. Now he's starting to speak in a future tense here. And shall be in you. Now, he dwelled with the apostles. He dwelled with the disciples. But then in John, it begins to speak, there's coming a day. What we're reading here, there's coming a day that Jesus will ascend to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit shall fall and be in you. He's upon you, but it's about to be in you. And so there's also been a debate. So we're going to teach a lot this morning. I know we're going to try to teach this morning. And so there's been a controversial of like, oh, well, is it the Holy Spirit falling upon you, or does he live on the inside of you? Both. Have you ever eaten pancakes with bacon bits, not bits, but like real bacon thrown on top? That's good stuff. You know what makes that pancake better? You cook the pancakes with bacon inside of them. Mm. Let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment to thank the Lord for bacon-filled pancakes. And there's a couple of restaurants that will do that for you. And if you need to know who they are, come to me afterwards. I'll tell you all of them. That's good stuff. So we can have the Spirit of God upon us, but we always have the Spirit of God in us. And so both of those are true. It's not one or the other. Both of those are true. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the need for salvation, and that salvation is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. But this week, we're looking at being filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, it lets us know that when we receive the Spirit of God, we also receive what? Power. Everybody say power. Now, but let John 14 says that the world cannot receive him. The world can't receive it. Now, we have received him. Now, let's look at this. Now, people, we're going to get into some of the names of it, because some people call it different things. And so we're going to get into it. And I want to be very, very clear, because there's been some confusions with what we call it and what the Bible even calls it. Because when we look at it, when we look at the name, there's been false doctrine, wrongly divided doctrine that has come out of the word, people getting confused with the words being baptized in the Spirit. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. So now people call it, I call it, and I'm very comfortable, we call it being filled with the Spirit. And we'll get into why I normally refer to it that way very soon. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. But some have called it being baptized in the Spirit. And I'm fine with both people calling it either one. Because it's correct. It's referred to in the Bible both ways. But I'm going to tell you why I prefer being filled with the Spirit versus being baptized with the Spirit. Because you know there's different kinds. We're not going to get in it right now. This is another sermon in the seven fundamentals. There's different types of baptisms. You recognize that? Yeah. Baptism of water, baptized in the family of God, baptized with the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. All right. And so there's, anyway, let's get into it. I'm trying to jump ahead of myself. Matthew 3 and 11. I indeed baptize you with water upon repentance, but he that cometh after me, now we're speaking of Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, the term being filled with the Spirit is because of 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, excuse me. Write this down, 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. I'll read this to you. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body. Now, they're baptized in the Spirit concerning speaking in tongues, and there's baptized in the Spirit which comes unto salvation. And the reason why I don't call it baptized into the Spirit, because the Bible says baptized into the Spirit, and it means talking about speaking in tongues, and it there's another term that they use, the same term, but for using baptized into the family of God. And so there has been a whole doctrine that if you don't speak in tongues, you'll burn in hell. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I talk to you for a moment? I was talking to somebody like that. Did I tell y'all my grandmother was Southern Baptist? I did tell y'all that, didn't I? My grandmother was Southern Baptist. I used to go spend the summers with her and my grandfather, and he was a retired farmer, and so he had a plot of land that he farmed, not because he tried to make money off of it. It was just because that's what he did all his life, and he said, if you quit working, you die. That was his mentality. So he kept working all the way to the end. And so I would go and help him. And oh my Lord, I'll just give you this little tidbit here. One time he asked me, what do you want to plant this year? And I said, I want to plant watermelon. I said, I love watermelon. I want me some watermelon. He planted 3 acres of nothing but watermelon. 3 acres. Every acre one day produced over 1,000 watermelons. We couldn't give them away. The neighbors would stop us. We don't want no more watermelon. We started having shooting contests, throwing them off of the truck as we're driving down the road. I mean, there were so many things to get rid of those watermelons. And it's amazing when you shoot a watermelon with an AKA. That thing will explode. All right, sorry. Let's keep going. Where were we going? Oh, my grandmother was Southern Baptist, and I was talking to a person who said you had to be baptized with the Spirit of God with evidence speaking in tongues to make it into heaven. And I said, you know, my grandmother was saved. She was Southern Baptist. She never spoke in tongues in her life, but she believed the Lord, and she lived a holy and a godly life and knew Jesus as her Savior. I asked them, I said, where did she go? And they got in immediately without thinking. Said, stop. I want to stop you before you say something. I said, I want you to understand what you're about to say. Has a reward. If you get it right, there's a reward. I'm going to be happy. If you get it wrong, there's going to be an award. And you don't want to know what that award is, talking about my grandma. And he said, well, I would prefer not to say then. And I want to tell you something. That teaching is absolutely wrong. When the Bible talks about being baptized, they talk about baptized in the Spirit, which they are taking to mean as being filled with the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking tongues. Yes, the Bible refers to it that way, but also the Bible says when you get saved, you're baptized into the family of God. So baptized into the Spirit of the family of God. And so, no, you do not have to speak in tongues to make it to heaven. Amen? All right, I'm glad y'all agree with me this morning. Now, so let's get into this. Now, the term being baptized, we said baptized by being filled with the Spirit means speaking in tongues. There are different ones. Luke, now I don't have to turn to Luke, but Luke gives us another term for it, saying endued. You're endued with the Spirit. In other words, speaking in tongues or being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues. He says endued with the Spirit. Now, the word endued comes from the Greek word. If you want to look me up in the Strong's, it's Greek word 1722, and it's endul. Endul, and it just basically means to sink in or to absorb. In other words, the Spirit of God coming on the inside of us, our spirit becoming alive to the Spirit of God. All right, and I want to be clear this on this statement that speaking in tongues, being filled with the Spirit of God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, being charismatic, being Pentecostal, is not a part of your salvation. Okay? I just want to say that it is not a part of salvation. There are things that are part of your salvation. Now, you have it comes through salvation. Hello? I'm not saying it comes through salvation, but it is not a guarantee of your salvation. There are some things that are guaranteed of your salvation. Living a Christian life, having the ability to overcome sin, having grace of God on the inside of you, having the ability to prosper. These are all coming from your salvation. But speaking in tongues, being filled with the Spirit of God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is not a part of your salvation, but it comes through your salvation. Okay? All right. Now, Acts chapter 1. Have you got back to Acts chapter 1 for me? We're going to start in verse 8 there. I want to read starting in verse 8. But ye shall receive power, we've already said that, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, what is the power for? Interesting, isn't it? What have you thought about that? What is this power for? Is it for jumping over tall buildings? Is it for stopping trains? What is it for? This power, you don't have to wear a cape around all the time. But how awesome would it be if we did? All right, y'all got to get a little happier this morning. That's funny. That is funny. Now, what is this for? It's for Christian living, and it's for Christian witnessing. Hello? The Holy Spirit will give you power to be witnesses. And it's living the witness as well. So we get power to live. All right. Y'all are doing good. Let's look at somebody in the Bible. Let's look at Peter. Are you ready? Let's examine Peter for a few minutes. Now, Peter, he was a disciple of Jesus. But did you notice that Peter got in all kinds of trouble? Peter got in so much kinds of trouble. Now, I have an opinion on why Peter got in so much trouble. I think he had probably a little bit of a self-image issue because he was always battling, well, Lord, who's going to sit at one hand of you? Who in heaven, who's going to have this? Who is the great disciple? Who is that? He always seemed to put his foot in his mouth. And even when Jesus was saying, this is going to happen, he said, oh, Lord, don't say that. And God had to rebuke him. It's one thing, do you remember, let's just get into it. Jesus was there and he had to tell Peter at one time, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, it's one thing. My sister called me that one time. She said, get thee behind me, Satan. She said that. Didn't bother me too much. Do you know if Jesus said that, that would be a big deflating of my balloon. And so Peter had the Son of God tell him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't even know what spirit you're of." So Peter got himself in trouble a little bit. And then what happened when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed him the most on his day of being hung on the cross, when God needed his disciples the most, Peter denied him not once. And did you notice the first time was to a little girl? Like, Peter was a fisherman. He could have took her. It didn't say there was a crowd of people. It said a little girl. He said, "No, I don't know her. I don't know him. What did Peter care about what a little 13-year-old girl had to say? And he denied him three times. So this is Peter. Now, let's talk. Peter went to the upper room. Now, let's talk about the upper room for a minute. How many people were in the upper room? Come on, I'm not asking rhetorical questions here. How many people? About 120. Absolutely. Bible says about 120. Who are some of the people that we know that were there? The disciples. We know the mother of Jesus was there. Mary was there. So we have women. We have children. We have men. We have carpenters. We have fishermen. We have all groups and different kinds of people in the upper room. All right. So Peter, you know, denied Jesus three times. Maybe even some of us can see ourselves in Peter. Maybe some of us can say, you know, it's kind of easy when we come to church to praise him. It's kind of easy to confess Jesus as Lord when we're surrounded by a bunch of people. But when we go to work and we're asked a question about the Bible, or whether we're asked, "Are you one of those believers?" Maybe you laugh. Maybe you don't answer. Maybe they come to you and they ask you a point blank question, whether it's salvation. Maybe they ask you, is Jesus really the only way? You're like, "Well, you know, I believe many people." You know, there are preachers who crumble at this question. I've seen preachers on TV crumble at the question, "Is Jesus the only way?" The answer is yes. If you believe the Bible, Jesus is either the Savior or he is a liar. There's no other options. Either he said that I am the only way and that is true and he is our Savior, or that is not the truth and he lied. And so Christians, you know, I'm pretty bold at answering questions. Now, I'm not out there with a bullhorn and I don't protest events. I don't go out there and, you know, "You're all going to hell. Jesus hates you." All this. First of all, that's not true anyway. Jesus doesn't hate everybody. Jesus doesn't hate the sinner. He doesn't hate people. He created people. He died for people. He said, "I don't come to condemn the world, but I come to save the world." That's the heart of God, is it all would come to the salvation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the heart of the Lord. He hates everyone. Now, you think of the worst person in history. Take a moment. And then think of the worst person in your family. I'm getting all of those. Yeah, I'm picturing their faces right now. And you know what? If they confess Jesus as their Savior, whether they are gone and dead, if they did it before they died, they are in heaven today. I had one man tell me, if Hitler, he was a Holocaust survivor, he said, "If Hitler's in heaven," he's like, "If Hitler's in heaven, I don't want to be there." I said, "Well, you know, I can understand that." I said, I don't know his life. I don't know at the end if he confessed Jesus as a Savior. I don't know. His life didn't surely look that way by no means. But at the end, I don't know his end result. But I tell you what, if God can forgive Hitler, thank God there's nothing that we've done that God can't forgive us for. We can be in among that ranks. So some people will look at it as a negative, but really that is a huge positive. If Hitler can make it, if Stalin can make it, if any of those guys can make it, if they confess Jesus at the end, there's nothing that we have done that Jesus won't forgive us for. Anybody kill about a million, couple million, 6 million people? Anyone? All right. You're done less than Hitler. You can make it. You can make it. And so, Peter, maybe you see yourself as Peter. Maybe I've had a question. I had a barista. You know the story. I've used it before. I went to a coffee shop. I won't name them by name, Starbucks. But I went to the coffee shop. I had a guy ask me about a law that was being passed and how I voted. And I told him, and he got mad with me. He chewed me out publicly. I mean, yelling at me. Well, you know what happened? One, he was fired. I didn't go for his job, but the manager came out and halted the conversation really quickly. I told him, I said, look, I vote my beliefs. I do what I vote how I believe. And I said, I have a moral conscience and I refuse to void my moral conscience. And I never treated this person. Anyway, we love people. You know, it's not our job to figure out who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. That's God's job. No man judges the heart except for God, but we know what is right and what is wrong, and I'm not going to back off from what is right, and I'm not backing off from what is wrong either. I'm not going to say something, I'm not going to hee-haw around about a question. If somebody has the gall to ask me, they should at least have the ability to take the answer. That's good preaching. It's kind of like this. My daddy said, son, when your wife asks you questions, she does not want to hear your opinion. He said, she wants to hear her opinion in your voice. All right. And so there are people in the world that don't want to hear your opinion when they're asking you a question. But let me tell you something. When they ask you a question about the Bible, we don't back down from what the Word says is true. We do not back down. And I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of seeing it on TV. I'm sick of seeing it on the news. I'm sick of seeing people when they are backed into a corner, they don't want to offend any. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't go around trying to offend nobody. But if you're going to ask my opinion, then let's get on this whole, what do they call it? Tolerance. It ain't tolerance. It is not tolerance if they don't accept your opinion. They can disagree and believe your opinion is wrong, and that is fine. I agree that a lot of people are absolutely out of their mind. I get ticked when I watch TV programs and a newscaster ain't never walked in church, never accepted Jesus as his savior, begins to tell me what God would do. He's like, I can't imagine a God. I'm like, well, you don't need to imagine. You need to know him. You ain't got to imagine. It's right here. There's no imagination to know what God would and would not do. It's set before us. Well, I don't think that's your problem. You're thinking. I don't have to think about what God would do. I know. I read it. I have a relationship with him. And the longer my relationship is with him, the longer, the better I will know what he would and would not do. I remember when I first got married. Oh, I was so thankful. I still am. Like, I don't know what I did right, but I'm thankful I did. And I don't know what God had to blind her eyes to, but I'm thankful he did. And you're like, but you're stuck now, praise God. Now, in all of this, I don't know where I was going. I got sidetracked on that. But in my wife, I remember the first time that I was having a conversation and just fear gripped her heart. I could see fear in her eyes. And I looked at her and said, you know where I'm about to go with this conversation. And she just nodded and said, it's scary to get up here, isn't it? And she nodded again. And so the more she was with me, the more she figures out exactly how I think and how I process stuff. The longer we hang around our God, the longer we hang around Jesus, the longer we dig into the Word, we get more and more the mentality and the mindset of Jesus. We renew our mind according to the Word of God. So we get to a point where we don't have to imagine what God would do. We know. Man, I'm preaching good this morning. Acts chapter 10, we're going to go to verse 37. Now, Peter, we're still looking at Peter. Peter, after all these problems of denying Jesus, sticking his foot in his mouth, being called Satan by the Son of God, I don't think I'd let that go for a long time. If Jesus called me Satan, that would be a problem for me for quite some time. After all these problems that Peter had, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit of God fell. Peter jumped up and preached the gospel, and over 3,000 people got saved. The man who denied Jesus not too long ago all of a sudden stands up, endued, filled with the Spirit of God in power, and becomes a witness. And over 3,000 people give their life to Jesus on that day. Woo! Talk about having church. He had church. The Spirit of God will change you. The Spirit of God will set you on fire. The Spirit of God will give you power where you were weak before. So maybe in the past you can identify with Peter. Are you saying, well, you know, yeah, I go to church. Well, how do you feel? Is Jesus the only way? Well, you know, everybody has their own beliefs and way. Who am I to say? I don't know. No, that might have been you in the past, but people can ask you now, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? You want to hear it? Yes. Is Jesus the only way? You guarantee he is. It'll give you boldness and power. And we ain't got to be mean about it. And we ain't got to go to the street. I'm going to tell you something. Most of the world that is in the world already knows they're going to hell. What they need is a way out. You could tell. I've had somebody ask me before, am I going to hell? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know. But if you're on your way in, I can tell you how to get out. I can tell you how to get out. His name is Jesus. That's the only way. All right. I'm. So Acts chapter 10, 37, it says that the word I say ye know, which was published through all Judea. See, God said it would start and then go to Judea and Galilee, all these places, and then began from Galilee and was baptized the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, before Jesus had a public ministry, he was filled with the Spirit of God. I didn't say before he did any miracles. I said before he had a public ministry, he was filled with the Spirit of God. All right. Now, I've been asked, people's asked me, do you have to speak in tongues? I'm like, no, but you get to. That's kind of like, do you have to drive to work or can you walk? No, you ain't got to drive, but you get to. It's much better and faster way to get there. All right, Acts chapter 10, turn to 10. I got to go. Y'all took so much of my time already. And I haven't even made it off the, oh yeah, I did. I made it off the first note, first page. We're doing all right. But we're still behind. So you're going to have to listen faster. Where did I tell you to go? All right, hold your place there. Go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to Acts chapter 10 next. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were all with one accord in one place. Right. Now, we ain't talking about a Honda here. They wasn't in a small car. We didn't pack people in a car. It says, we're all in one place in all. All right, so verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can I say this real quick? You cannot take an experience and make a doctrine out of it. Amen. So I've heard, if there's not wind and if there's not tongues of fire appearing over your head, it's not baptism and speaking in tongues. Baloney. Baloney. Where did you get filled with the Spirit of God with evidence speaking tongue, right? In church. Where did you get filled with the Spirit of God? In church. Anybody outside of church? Anybody was not in church? Okay, where were you?
I was in my bedroom.
Bedroom. Where were you?
My car.
Car. Where were you?
My bedroom.
Bedroom. Where were you?
Making cookies.
Making cookies. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. Yep. Anyone else? Anywhere else? What were you doing? That's good. Where were you and what were you doing?
Bedroom.
Where were you? What were you doing? Pastor Tim Arena's place. What were you doing?
Bible study.
You were at church. Church, we know what you better been doing. Singing. What were you doing? Mountaintop. That's nice. That's nice. What were you up there for?
I was
seeking the Lord. All the way back, I saw your hands. Who? I saw another hand somewhere, didn't I? Yes. What? Where were you? What were you doing? Kitchen? What were you doing?
Cooking.
Bless the Lord. Where were you? What were you? Liver and pray. Anybody in front of a TV? Listen, no one? Okay, good. Someone told me they were watching Billy Graham. Sorry, not Billy Graham. So what else? Billy Graham's awesome. In all of this, if we made a doctrine that you had to be in church, that's an experience. Speaking in tongues is the evidence. The experience, you don't seek to absolutely replicate an experience. And so there's been people that want to replicate the experience. And that's not what you... So if someone says you have to hear mighty rushing wind, nope. If that's what it takes, we'll bring some big old fans in here and turn them all on. That's not what it takes. All right, so let's keep reading. Mighty rushing wind. What verse did I leave off on? 2. Let's go to verse 3.
And look, they were in a house. And they were appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Say all. What does all mean? All. With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there are all kinds of people in the upper room. We already said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room. So interesting. A lot of times we want to break things down by gender and say whether what can and cannot be done in the Spirit. But you know, in the Spirit, Jesus said there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. Isn't that interesting? All right, I'm just saying. All right. So any person can get saved. And any Christian can be filled with the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 10, 44. Get there quickly. I already got you in Acts. That is correct. Now, there's been a doctrine that said that, speaking tongues died off with the last disciple. How many people in here are disciples of Jesus? Oh, well, isn't that interesting? Last disciple hasn't died yet, have they? Nope. And I'm going to tell you something. Our greatest call in life is to be a disciple of Jesus. Amen. That's our greatest call. Amen. You know, it saddens me if you ask somebody, what is your purpose? What's your purpose of going to church? What is your purpose in life? And they say, well, to be a better father. Well, that's good. You should be a better father. But that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is to become a better disciple of Jesus. Becoming a better father is a side effect of becoming a greater disciple of Jesus. Being a greater husband, a greater wife, a greater person, a greater employee, more prosperous. Whatever it is that your desires in your life are a result of becoming a greater disciple of Jesus. That is our ultimate goal. Okay, so Acts 10, 44. Now, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. No, excuse me. The Holy Ghost fell upon all. Say all. What does all mean? Very good. Which heard him. Now, it kind of interests me. You know, Peter was a long preacher. You know how we know that? Peter was preaching one time and somebody fell asleep in the window and fell out. Remember the story? You better thank God I'm your preacher, not Peter. I'm ending soon. Peter would go forever. He would hold you till the Baptists were done. All right. Now, I don't know why. Now, the Now, someone told me that the reason why the Holy Spirit had to fall down while Peter was speaking is because Peter was long-winded. And God's saying, they got it, Peter. Let's move on. Now, so in all of this, and they of the circumcision. Now, who was that? The Jews. The Jews that were with Peter, which believed, were astonished. And as many came with Peter, because of that, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speaking with tongues and manifesting God, or magnifying God, and then answered Peter. So what happened here, the Jews all of a sudden thought, wait a minute, this is falling upon the Gentiles. This is falling upon the Goheems. Someone asked me, what's a Goheem? If you don't know what one is, you are one. That's a funny if you were Jewish. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. We're going to go there. I'm already over my time. Y'all give me 10 more minutes. I'll shut it down. Okay. 25? All right, I'll take that. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast and came to Ephesus, and finding a certain disciple. Now, notice this. It says certain disciples. Yes. Now, notice that they were already saved. They were already disciples of Jesus. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. So this didn't fall away with the original 12. It did not fall away. And he said unto them, and it didn't fall away with the original 120. And he said unto them, what
then were ye baptized? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. And then John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, and said unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Somebody say they received power. Now, Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm skipping some stuff, but we're getting the majority of it here. Ephesians 5, 18. A lot of people love to quote this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Question: be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess. Is that a suggestion, or is that a commandment? Okay, let's go to the other half. But be filled with the Spirit of God. Suggestion or commandment? Isn't that interesting? God didn't say, I would like you not to be drunk with wine, and I would like you to be filled with the Spirit of God. He said, no, I'm telling you right now, don't be drunk, and I'm telling you now, be filled with the Spirit of God. That is a commandment from the Lord. Now, I'm going to go over some of the reasons why we have tongues, what the purpose of tongues, and we're going to be very quickly here. Tongues are a personal prayer language between you and God. Tongues is praying out, the Spirit of God hooking up with your spirit, praying the perfect prayer. Have you ever been in a time where you didn't know what to pray for? Hello, welcome to my world. There is many times in my life I have not known how to pray. And so I hook up in the Spirit of God. I believe praying in English is very important. And I believe praying in the Spirit of God is very, very important. And so we can pray out the perfect will of God for our life. Now, there have been times that we know we didn't know what to pray. Thank God for praying in tongues. There's another point, praying in tongues. Tongues edifies you. The word edify means to build up and to charge yourself like a battery. Have you ever had a dead battery in a car? You know what it does for that car? You know what that dead battery does for the car? Nothing. You know what your dead spirit does for you? Nothing. You need to be charged up. Your spirit, you can be drained. You're filled, but there are refillings. You need to constantly top up. I like this statement. I don't like to fill the bucket up when it's empty. I like to keep it overflowing. And so we should constantly build ourselves up in the Spirit. We should constantly build ourselves up in the Word. The Word in the Spirit of God shouldn't be something we do for 911. Hello, I'm having an emergency, so I need to pray. No. We need to be praying all the time. Well, you know, I'm having an emergency. I need to read the Word of God. No, you should be hunting for bear all the time. You should wake up every day, pull both triggers. You get that term? All right. No. Shotgun, double barrel shotgun has two triggers. And so you got two shots. And so if you, every person, we had a men's shooting event. Y'all remember that? It was Joseph. That's funny stuff. I was telling Joseph we had a double barrel shotgun. I said, Joseph, pull both triggers at one time. He said, that'd hurt. I said, well. I said, I've done it. He's like, you've done that before? I'm like, yeah. I didn't tell him I only done it once. You were there. He pulled that trigger, both triggers. It was a Saturday. He came, he says, you need to see my shoulder. And he pulled it up. He had a big old bruise all over his shoulder. So I think everybody needs to pull both triggers. But this is the deal. You got to brace yourself. And this is the deal. When the enemy is coming against you, we're not trying to load up and get ready to fight. We're already ready to lay down the Word of God. Can I tell you this? This is interesting. I don't mean to talk about guns so much this morning, but I was watching the military channel. They have a shotgun with a clip. It's this big old round clip, and they made it for fighting in close quarters, in like going through homes or down alleys. And they just hold the trigger, and it just keeps firing. A shotgun, a fully automatic shotgun.
I'm here like, that has to be fun. And then they have it for when, so that it doesn't have the recoil. It doesn't have the kick. So they walk forward, one person in front, and they just hold the trigger down. You know what that's for? That's to put enough lead in the air that anything that stands in the way will fall. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be walking our day, quoting the word when we wake up. This is the day that the Lord had made. I will rejoice and be glad. If God be for me, who can be against me? And then even just throw in some tongues for good measure. That, you want to know what that does? It does exactly what it does for the military. You're throwing enough word of God out there that if any little devil thinks he can come up against you, he stands up and says, whoa, it's too hot in there. You know, now, this is the deal. This is the deal. I believe the enemy has a record of people. And I think, you know, I could see him walking down, you know, your neighborhood. Walking down your neighborhood. He's like, all right, and you, he's got all his little problems like depression. You go on over there and deal with those people, and you go deal with those people. You go deal with those, and then one of the little devils try to come on over to Ryan's house. He said, no. You see what happened last week when someone went over there? You ain't strong enough to go into that house, buddy. You're going to have to wait a little bit. We're going to have to wait. We can't send nothing in right now. It's too hot over there. We can't take that land. Now go mess with his neighbors. All right, so this is the deal. When the enemy looks at you, he sees the Son of God. And he will try, but it's just like the devil tried with Jesus. Jesus wore the devil out. When they went to the desert, who left the desert first? The devil left. You want to know why? He was wore out. This is what happens. You are in your house, and if the devil comes to attack you, you just roll your sleeves up. Be like, we're both here. I know who's going to be leaving first. My grandmother always told me problems have an expiration date. You'll outlast them. You stand on the word of God, you will defeat him every time, just like Jesus did. Now, when we get filled with the Spirit of God, we edify ourselves. We speak in tongues. It builds ourselves up. It makes you more sensitive to the direction and the will of God. And Paul even stated, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye. I would have put all y'all in there, but he put you all. I still think he was a good Southern boy. Nobody uses you all. And then right before he said that statement, right before he said, I speak in tongues more than you all, and I'm going to quote him what he said about speaking tongues. He quoted saying, give thanks well. I think that would be interpreted this way. When you pray in tongues, you thank God better. You praise the Lord. Haven't you ever just wanted to praise God? And you're just like, well, I want to praise it. And I'm stumbling for words to say. When you pray in tongues, you say the perfect thing to praise the Lord. You speak the most perfect praise you could possibly speak. Now, I love, Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. I think we should be thanking God that we speak in tongues. And we should practice it on a regular basis. Now, this is what we're going to do. I got to close down. I'm over my time here. So this is what I want to say. Now, Acts chapter 19 that we just read recently, and it said, Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues.